Now, the Alter Rebbe is like, it's like a kapara. He is going instead of everyone else. But the reason that the Alter Rebbe is going is because really everybody else deserves. In other words, the Chassidim felt like this. If they were good enough Chassidim, and they were learning enough Chassidus, and they were living with enough Chassidus, so then Hashem would be happy with Chassidus, and the Alter Rebbe wouldn't go to jail. But it must be that because they're not good enough Chassidim, in some way they're not doing enough for Chassidus, so that's why the Alter Rebbe is going to jail. That's why they're fasting, they're eating bread and water, they're doing tshuva. Maybe because of them, that's why the whole thing is happening. What do we learn? Bereshis bara Elokim. Hashem made the world for two things. For what? Torah and Yidden. Everything in the world happens connected with Torah and Yidden. Here's something happened in the world. The Alter Rebbe went to jail. It's connected with the Torah and with the Yidden. So they have to look at themselves. We're Yidden. What are we doing that the Alter Rebbe went to jail? The next thing. Every Tati has to gather the family to the table. And he has to go tell the neighbors. And he has to tell them what happened to the Alter Rebbe. And how serious it is. He has to tell them about the people that got the Alter Rebbe in trouble, the Misnagdim. What a big, big Aveda they have done. That they got the Alter Rebbe in trouble to go to such a dangerous jail. And also to explain how lucky everybody will be to do anything to help the Alter Rebbe get out of jail. To say tehillim, to daven, to fast, to give tzedakah, to do tshuva. Everybody that will help a tzaddik, a person that helps a tzaddik, gets a big bracha from Hashem. This is one of the rules the Chassidim made by the meeting that everybody should do. In other words, you do something to help a tzaddik, and if a tzaddik has a tsar, you do something to help the tzaddik and his tsar. Everyone should give money to help the Rebbe's family, because the Alter Rebbe is not there. The family needs money. So everybody has a zchus to give money to help the Rebbe's family, and also for the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. They should not stop giving Chas V'Shalom to Eretz Yisrael, and they should keep on giving it to special tzedakah. They should make a list of all the silver, gold, rings, and jewels they have in their house in case for an emergency they have to give that for money to help the Alter Rebbe. Maybe the King of Russia will say, if you give me money, I'll let the Alter Rebbe out of jail. Sometimes the king wants money. They have to be prepared to give money. The next thing. Every neighborhood should have a leader. And this leader should go around to all the houses and make sure that all the people are doing according to the rules. To see what they're eating, to see if they're doing all the things that they said in the rules. And if anybody breaks a rule, they are not to be considered a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. If anybody will do anything against the rules. Then they said, if anybody dies during the time that the Alter Rebbe is in jail, let's say a person dies, all the chassidim should go to the mikveh, they should go to the levaya, and they will stand next to the person before they put them in the ground, and they will talk to the person, because the neshama is there, it's about to go to Gan Eden, and they'll ask the person to go to Gan Eden, to the Baal Shem Tov, and to the Magid of Mezrich, and tell them what's going on, even though, of course, neshamas could find out what's going on, not through people, but anyway, they should do everything possible to do anything that they can to help the Alter Rebbe. The neshama should go in Gan Eden to where the Baal Shem Tov is and the Magid of Mezrich and tell them what's going on and they should help. And everyone should fast that day. Then they made three groups of people. One group went to Peterburg to be there near the jail to do whatever they can. The next group went to Vilna. They went secret. Now, Vilna was a place of misnagdim. A few Yidden were going to just dress up regular, like regular Yidden. Of course, in those days, most Yidden had beards and they dressed from. And you could not tell by looking who is a misnag and who is a chassid. A misnagid had a beard, a chassid had a beard. A misnagid wore a hat, a chassid wore a hat. By looking at them, you could not tell who was a chassid, who was a misnagid, because they were all frum. These chassidim would go into the shul and sit down and learn. In those days, Baruch Hashem, the shuls, even by the misnagdim, were full of people learning. And they would go into the shul and start learning. Nobody would know who they are. They're learning. But they were really spying on the misnagdim, and they're going to hear what they're saying about the Alter Rebbe if they could find out some kind of news about the Alter Rebbe and what they're planning to do. So they were going like spies. And another group would go to Shklov, also a place of misnagdim, to spy, to listen in the shuls, if they hear anybody talking about the Alter Rebbe or what's going to happen or what they're planning. Now, let's say a group finds out something and they want to tell the Hasidim. Let's say, for example, in Vilna, they find out something about the Alter Rebbe. And they want to tell, in Peterburg, where the Alter Rebbe is in jail, the Hasidim over there, they want to tell them what they find out. How can they tell them? There's no telephone. There's no car to drive over there. There's two ways to do it. Either you send the letter in the mail, and the mailman will go from one city to the other. But they said, no one should send the letter in the mail with any kind of news about the Alter Rebbe. Because maybe the misnagdim will do something to take away the mail. Maybe they'll steal the mail. Who knows what they can do? Maybe they'll look at the mail. Maybe they'll find out things and they'll change things. So what they did was any kind of messages, any kind of news should not be written down through the mail. Only special shluchim should go by themselves from one place to the other and tell what they know. And that way nobody is going to take away or change or stop or do anything. The shluchim themselves will go. And they'll go in secret. The whole thing has to be in secret. And we know that the Alter Rebbe was taken to jail in the black wagon. And they took him to the big jail in Peterburg for the biggest criminals. And nobody knew what was going to happen to him over there. Do they have kosher food in jail?
No!
Or do they serve the prisoners whatever they want? Probably the biggest, junkiest food they can get. And of course they don't care about kosher. And the Alter Rebbe did not eat. And they thought, Chas Shalom, he wants to kill himself like some prisoners. They'd rather kill themselves than be in jail. And they said, you have to eat this food. Now there was one guard over there, one officer, who was a Jew. And he even told the Alter Rebbe, a person is allowed to kill themselves. I mean, God forbid, a person is allowed to give up their life in certain situations. Lamashal, if they say, bow down to this Getchke, or you'll have to be killed. A person is mechuyif, God forbid, to be killed and not to bow down to the Getchke. Or if they say, kill this Jew, or else we're going to have to kill you. He must, chas v'shalom, be killed rather than to kill somebody else. Or if they say, you see this woman, she's married already. You have to marry her or else we're going to kill you. A person has to be killed rather than to marry somebody who's already married. In these three situations, it's called Yahareg Val Yavoir. A person has to be killed and not to be doing the Aveda Chas V'Shalom. But in other situations, Lamashal, if they would say, you have to eat this treif, and if you don't eat this treif, you'll die because there's nothing else to eat.
Api halacha,
you would have to eat the treif and not give up your life. Because you don't have to chas v'shalom die not to eat treif. You would be allowed al pi halacha. But the Alter Rebbe was still not eating the treif. And the guard said, don't you know that if you kill yourself and don't eat, and the Torah says you should have eaten, you're going to lose your chelik on olam haba. According to halacha, if a person says, I'm not going to eat the treif, even if I'll die, then that person loses their chelik in olam haba, because the Torah did not say you should die. The Torah said that you should live. Like on Shabbos, if mommy's going to have a baby on Shabbos, if mommy's going to have a baby on Shabbos, then she has to go in a taxi. And that's being mechal Shabbos. You're breaking the Shabbos if you go in a taxi. But if she doesn't go in the taxi, God forbid, it's a danger of life. Does mommy go in the taxi? Or mommy doesn't go in the taxi? She goes in the taxi because the Torah says, break one Shabbos that you should live to have many more Shabbosim. The Torah itself says, this is a time you have to break the Torah in order to later keep the Torah. So according to halacha, the guard says to the Alter Rebbe, you have to eat the treif, and if not, you're going to lose your chelik in olam haba. And the Alter Rebbe said, even if I'm going to lose my chelik in olam haba, I'm still not going to eat treif. And they even tried to open the Alter Rebbe's mouth with big, strong guards, and they couldn't do it because he wouldn't let them. You understand? Such terrible things what they did to Alter Rebbe in jail. Also, they tried to fool the Alter Rebbe. They put him in a room without any windows, so you could not see if there was sunlight outside or if it was dark. They put him in a room without windows, and they wanted to fool him. So they came, and they said, why aren't you sleeping? It's the middle of the night. How come you're up? Now there was a candle burning in the room, that's all. And the Alter Rebbe said, what do you mean the middle of the night? It's 2:05 in the afternoon. Now they got very, very excited because they knew it was exactly 2:05. Now he didn't have a clock or a watch in the jail. Somewhere in the jail was a clock and it said 2:05. But there was no way the Alter Rebbe could have known the time. And they wanted to fool him because he was there for a long time without seeing if it's day or night. And they thought he was all mixed up on the hours. He said, it's 2:05 in the afternoon. They said, how do you know? So the Alter Rebbe said that every hour, what makes an hour to be an hour? Because on the watch it says it's an hour. Who makes time? A watch makes time?
No.
Who makes time? Who? Hashem, right? Okay, now, Hashem makes time, but time is made out of hours. Every hour, it's a new hour. It's 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock. Now, during the 12 hours of the day, there are 12 names of Hashem shining in the world. The Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name, and each time there's a slightly different name shining in the world. Hashem's name can be written different ways. Each hour, let's say it's 2 o'clock, exactly 2 o'clock, a new name of Hashem shines in the world for that hour. When it becomes 3 o'clock, that name goes back into Hashem and a new name shines. That's what makes it 3 o'clock. Now, on your watch, it's just going to say 1, 2, or 3, or the hands will move. Because the clock is only showing what time it is. What really makes a new hour is Hashem's name shining. Now, during the night time, there is another name of Hashem. It's called the Shem Adonai, which has 4 letters. Each hour of the night, that one's shining in the world. So there's 12 hours of the night and 12 hours of the day, and every hour a new name shines. So the Alter Rebbe says, the way I knew that it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 after 2, because just a few minutes ago, the new name of Hashem for 2 o'clock was shining into the world. In other words, the Alter Rebbe could see or could feel or know somehow in his neshama exactly which name of Hashem was shining in the world. By us, if you're going down the street and somebody says, hey, what time is it? What time is it? Well, you have to look for your watch if you have one, and you say, well, it's 3:15. By the Alter Rebbe, all he has to do is tell you which name of Hashem is shining in the world. And there was a tzaddik who was a kid. And this happened sometimes a long time ago, and even not such a long time ago, that Yidden are traveling and they get lost. And they don't get back where they have to for Shabbos. And they get lost in the woods, they get lost in the ocean, and the days go by. They don't have a watch, they don't have a calendar, and they're not exactly sure even which day of the week it is. Maybe they were in a storm. Maybe it was cloudy and dark and they had a terrible storm. They don't know which day it is. They get mixed up which day it is. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, what do you do? How do you figure out when is Shabbos? I don't know if it's Thursday or Tuesday. I don't know if it's Sunday or Friday. I don't know what day it is. How do you figure out when is Shabbos? That you have to keep Shabbos and not do malachas. There's a group of Yidden that were lost, and such a thing happened, and they're trying to figure out, oh, which day it is? When is Shabbos? How do I know? And one of the little kids, who was a little tzaddik boy, he says, what's the problem? I'll tell you when it's Shabbos. And they say, how do you know? The kid says, because when I look up in the sky on Shabbos, the sky is different. It's a completely different looking sky. Every Shabbos, that's what I see. It's a completely different sky. So all I have to do is look up in the sky. I'll tell you which day is Shabbos. Now other people couldn't see it. He could see it. It was a different sky on Shabbos. Some people can see things that other people can't see. Now, if you remember, when the Alter Rebbe was leaving his home to go to jail, his wife's brother was named Rabbi Yisrael Kozik. Rabbi Yisrael Kozik. And he came to the Alter Rebbe right before they were taking the Alter Rebbe to the black wagon. And he said, Rebbe, what can I do to help? I'll do anything for you. And the Alter Rebbe said, just like you are, you should go to Petersburg. Now, those were the Alter Rebbe's words. Just like you are, you should go to Petersburg. Now, every word of a tzaddik is exact. So Rabbi Yisrael knew that he has to go right away, just like he is. So first of all, he didn't even change his clothes. Because if he changes his clothes, is that just like you are? No. Even though he lived just in a small town, and the way you dress in a small town is one kind of clothes. You know, a person comes like from a farm or a small town, he's going to dress like in just regular kind of clothes. Petersburg is a big city. Now, most of the people in a big city, they dress up in different kind of suits, fancier, nice clothes. And a person that comes from like a farm or a small town, who's going to be in the street looking like that in a big city, is going to look very funny, like out of place. But the Alter Rebbe said, just like you are, go to Petersburg. He didn't change his clothes. Now, another important thing, in those days especially, you needed a passport for every place that you go. Now, even nowadays you need a passport, but it was different over there, because like in America, if you're going from New York to California, even though it's the other side of the country, you don't need a passport because you're not leaving the country. If you're going from here to Florida, you don't need a passport because you're still in the same country. Even though you are traveling 1,000 miles or 3,000 miles away, you don't need a passport. If you go to Montreal, if you go to Canada, you would need a passport because you're crossing the border to a different country. Or if you go to England, or if you go to Israel, or if you go to South America or to France, when you're leaving the country, you need a passport. But in this country, you can go to 1,000 cities, you never need a passport. Now, in Russia, in those days, to go from one place to another, even many times a different city, you had to have a passport. And if not, either they wouldn't let you in, or you'd get in big trouble not for having your passport. They could put you in jail for not having your passport. Now, your passport has your name in it. It tells what your name is, your address, and different things about you. Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Kozik, his passport was in his house. And the Alter Rebbe told him to go to Petersburg. He would need a passport to go over there. But the Alter Rebbe said, just like you are, and right away, meaning that he has to go right away, he has to go. He doesn't have time to go home to get a passport. On the other hand, he must have a passport because if a police is going to stop him and say, take out your papers, take out your passport. If he doesn't have it, he's going to go right into jail. He will go right into jail and be in big trouble. So they'll throw him out of the city. And the Alter Rebbe told him to go there. What's he going to do? So somebody that was right there, standing right near him, said, Rabbi Yisrael, I'll give you my passport. Now, it doesn't say whose name. Let's say his name was Reb Chaim. He gives Yisrael a passport, but the name on there is Reb Chaim, right? In other words, he says, if anybody stops you, you're going to have to show him my passport. You'll have to pretend that you're me and give him my name. Otherwise, if you're going to say your name and they're going to say you've got the wrong passport, you're going to also go into jail. You can't take somebody else's passport. So in order to be able to go right away, he took, let's say his name was Reb Chaim's passport, and he's going to Petersburg with that passport. And he went in his regular clothes. He went right away. And every day he walked the streets. Because the Alter Rebbe didn't tell him what to do. He just said, as you are, go to Petersburg. So he knows, for some reason, I don't know why, the Alter Rebbe sent me here. I don't know what I'm going to do. And every day he walked around. Now, the time went on in the jail. The Alter Rebbe was in the jail. One day, that officer, the Jewish officer, he liked the Alter Rebbe. He knew that he was a big tzaddik. He knew that he didn't do anything wrong. He once said to the Alter Rebbe, I want to ask you a shaila in the Torah, because I know what it says in the Torah, and there's something, I don't know what it means. It says, in Bereishis, when Hashem came into Gan Eden, to Adam, after Adam ate from the tree, Hashem says to Adam, Ayeka, where are you? Now, if Hashem is supposed to know everything, and Hashem sees everything, how could he say to Adam, where are you? It means Hashem doesn't know where is Adam. How could it be if Hashem knows where Adam is, then how can he say, I don't know where you are? It means Hashem doesn't know where he is. And if he knows where he is, he's not going to ask, where are you? And the Alter Rebbe looks at this guard, this officer, right in the eyes, and he says, do you believe the Torah is true? Yes. He says, yes. He says, do you believe Hashem is everywhere? Yeah. Do you believe Hashem is every time and every place for every person? Yeah, I believe that. He says, well, Hashem is asking every person, just like Adam, where are you in your life? He says, for example, he could ask a person who's 58 years old. Now, this guard was exactly 58 years old. He gets excited all of a sudden, the Alter Rebbe is saying, he's asking a person like you, you're 58 years old, where are you in your life? Did you do good in your life? Or did you not do good in your life? Did you help people in your life? In other words, Hashem knows. But he wants you to think over, where are you in your life? Are you doing what you should be doing? Or chas v'shalom, you're not doing what you should be doing. You should think over where you are. Of course, I know where you are. Do you know where you are? Do you know what you're doing? And of course, there was big respect this officer had for the Alter Rebbe. And people in the jail started talking that they've arrested some person. They said he was a big criminal, but he's a very big tzaddik. He's halik. Everybody saw the Alter Rebbe was halik. And officers started talking, and guards started talking. And one night, the officer of the jail was called to the king. He was called the Tsar. And the Tsar wanted a report. What's doing in the big jail in Petersburg? I want to know about the criminals there and what they're doing. And the officer said, you know, there's one person in the jail that really doesn't even belong there. He's such a halik et tzaddik. He's a very great person. And he was accused of doing all kinds of things with money and against Russia and helping the king of Turkey. It must be baloney, not Turkey. It must be ridiculous because he's such a fine, great tzaddik. He's so halik. And the king said, I heard about this. This is the Alter Rebbe, right? Yes. I've heard about him, but I heard that he was a big criminal. That's why I had him arrested in the black wagon. And the officer of the jail said, well, maybe he has some kind of enemies that made up a big lie against him to get him in trouble, because he doesn't seem to be a troublemaker at all. And the Tsar said, I'm going to go myself to check this out, to see who this really is. If he's really a criminal, or he's good, or he's all right. Now, the Tsar, one evening, left the palace secretly through the secret door that nobody knows where he's going, and nobody knows that he's going out, or else he's going to have a bunch of people with him. He wanted to go by himself. Maybe he went with the officer of the jail. And he dressed up in a regular clothes, that he looked like a regular person in regular clothes. He looked like a regular jail guard. Not the king. He was the king. Now you have to understand, in those days, if you go to a person in Russia, in the street, and you would say, excuse me, who is the king of Russia? He would say, what do you mean, who's the king of Russia? The Tsar Nikolai. Everybody knows who's the king. The Tsar Nikolai. So they would know who's the king. But then you would say to the person, what does he look like? What does he look like? I don't know. I never saw him. What, to see the king? Very few people see the king. And maybe if there's a parade once in a while, so the people in the city could see the king. But most of the people didn't live in that city or go to that city. And the king usually didn't travel out of that city. So not so many people knew what the king looked like. And you did not have pictures and photographs and magazines and newspapers that everybody sees what the king looks like. They wouldn't know. Now nowadays, lahavdil, I mean, you know, nowadays you have the president, everybody knows what he looks like, even on the other side of the world. You have so many pictures. Those days, most people did not know what the king looked like. So therefore, most people, if they looked at the Tsar, unless he's dressed up in the king's crown with a beautiful clothes, and they said, hey, that must be the king, otherwise you would not know what he looks like. Because not a lot of people saw him. And now he goes into the jail to the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe was not a person that lived in Petersburg that would see the king, what he looks like. All of a sudden, this guard, who was really the king, he pretends that he's going to be a guard or an officer to go in to ask the Alter Rebbe questions. Because many times they would send somebody in the day or the night to ask questions to a prisoner. All of a sudden the door opens and the guard in regular uniform comes in, and he comes in the Alter Rebbe's room, and all of a sudden the Alter Rebbe stood up and gave honor to this person. And they knew that the Alter Rebbe, they were told that the Alter Rebbe never stood up for any officers and any guards in order not to give them kavod. He didn't want to give anybody kavod in the jail. He didn't want to show that anybody is a big deal and has any power over him, even though the law is to the prisoners, the prisoners have to stand up for the officers and the guards. And all of a sudden, the Alter Rebbe gets up and he stands up. And the Tzar says, "Why are you standing up for me? I heard you don't get up for any of the officers in this jail." And the Alter Rebbe says, "I'm not standing up for an officer or for a guard. I'm standing up for the king. You're the king." And the Tzar says, "How do you know I'm the king? You ever saw a picture of the king?" The Alter Rebbe says, "No, but I know you're the king." And the Tzar was very impressed. He says, "Well, how can you know I'm the king if you never saw a picture of the king?" So the Alter Rebbe said, "I am not afraid of anybody in the world. I'm only afraid